Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what were the last words of advice that Sally Perel's parents gave him, and did he follow that advice? When the Nazis came to power, systematic persecution of Germany's Jewish citizens began. In 1935, the Perel family relocated to Lodz, Poland, where Solomon's aunt lived, after their shoe store was deliberately pillaged and Perel was expelled from his school. After the Germans invaded Poland in September 1939, Solomon Perel and his brother Isaac attempted to escape to the Soviet-occupied part of Poland. Solomon succeeded and was placed in a Komsomol-run orphanage in Grodno, while his brother made his way to Vilna in what is now Lithuania. Perel fled from the orphanage when Germany invaded the Soviet Union and was captured by a German army unit. He told them that his name was Josef Perel, and since he was a native German speaker, he was able to convince his captors that he was an ethnic German and was subsequently accepted into his captors' unit as a Russian-German interpreter. Since he was still a minor, Perel was told he could not remain with the army. Instead, he was sent to a Hitler youth school in Braunschweig, where he continued to hide his Jewish identity, although as a circumcised Jew he was constantly in danger of being discovered. The night of April 20, 1945, on the eve of his 20th birthday and close to the end of the war, Perel was captured by a U.S. Army unit but released the next day. After traveling back to his birthplace and making dozens of inquiries, he finally located his brother Isaac, who was married and living in Munich. Perel moved to Munich to be with him. He learned that his parents and sister had not survived the Holocaust, but his brother David was alive and in Palestine. In July of 1948, Solomon sailed for the newly declared State of Israel, where he fought in the War of Independence. Perel wrote a book about his experiences, which was published in German in 1989. Ich war Hitlerjunge Solomon, I was Hitler Youth Solomon, was the inspiration for the 1990 award-winning film Europa Europa by Polish director Agnieszka Holland. In 1997, the book was translated into English with the same title as the movie. Mr. Perel was in Spain recently to present the Spanish translation of his book, and he spoke with us about his wartime experiences. Most of his answers were in German, and I would like to give special thanks to Claudia Müller for translating those segments into English. Thank you very much for speaking with us today. Now that our listeners have sort of heard the story, I have some questions that are pretty specific. I was wondering how you were able to act German, and how the Germans really believed that you were German.
In mir entstanden wirklich solche Mechanismen. Erstmal bin ich in Deutschland geboren, die deutsche Sprache perfekt beherrscht, sprach Hochdeutsch.
So I must say that you can develop any mechanisms you have of defense. Huh? So first of all, I was born in Germany. So German is my mother tongue. So I speak German. I didn't speak Yiddish in this moment, but thanks to those mechanisms, I believed that I was really a German. So I even forgot being Jewish. I just wanted to survive as a German. So I reached it, and thanks to my instincts and to my talent to adapt to any kind of situation and any circumstances. And also, I have to say, I had a lot of luck.
Es ist mir eben gelungen, durch diese Instinkte, durch Intuitionen, durch die Begabtheit, mich an Situationen anzupassen, immer den richtigen Ausweg zu finden. Und ich hatte auch viel Glück.
When you and your brother were sent away by your parents for, so that you would be safe, your mother said, you must live. Your father said, don't forget who you are. How did you choose to take your mother's advice, and how did you return to your father's advice and go back to who you were?
Yes.
Another difficult question.
Also eigentlich, als mir meine Mutter sagte,
it's difficult, the question, but the answer also will be difficult. So my mother, the last words of my mother were, you must live. And my father said, don't forget who you are. So for me, at that moment, it wasn't any contradiction, because it's the same. I mustn't forget who I am, but I must live. For me, it was the same. And my father said, yes, if you are Jewish, if you are you have faith, you are stronger, so you will survive. And my mother only said, you must survive. That's for me, it was the same. But when I was in front of the German soldier, and he asked me whether I was Jewish, so at this moment I felt there was the contradiction. So when I would identify myself as a Jew, they would kill me there. So I think that my father didn't want me to die as Idush Hashem. Idush Hashem, it's like death as a martyr. So I think that's the answer. There's no contradiction, because the faith also gives me the forces to survive.
You've said that you still have part of this Nazi brainwashing in you, and it must have been very difficult for you to overcome. And this is another difficult question, I'm sorry. How do you think that the young German people of your generation, who are now still in your generation, or maybe even a little younger, have they been able to overcome this, since everybody had that same kind of brainwashing?
Die damalige deutsche Jugend, die heute mein Alter sind, oder wie?
What do you mean, a German youth from his age?
No, well, what I mean is that if the whole generation of Germans at the time were educated and brainwashed by Hitler youth and by the Nazi regime, and you, as a Jew living in Israel, are still having problems with it, what happened to that generation of Germans, and were they ever able to overcome it, and what about their children?
Ja, also ich treffe mich sehr oft.
Oh yes, I'm quite often in Germany, and there I meet my old comrades from the Hitler Youth. Well, no, some comrades are left, because they're all not dying there, only some few left nowadays. But we speak about the past, and I must say some of them are still thinking or following some of those ideas. They are not Nazis, but they are still in that kind of ideology. It's difficult, I think, when you're young and you strongly believe in such kind of ideas and so on, and if you're getting older, it's difficult to say, yes, I was wrong. So, and then they try to rectify themselves, and they try to find something good about the Nazi area. So, of course, they are all against the extermination of Jews, yes, but there are still some ideas remaining.
After the war, you went to Israel shortly after independence. Can you tell us about how you were accepted there as a Jew coming from this background, and if you had any problems having been a Nazi, so to speak, and what life was like in Israel when you went there.
Also erstmal, Holocaust war in Israel kein Thema. Es war ja Unabhängigkeitskrieg und andauernd war mein Kriegszustand.
I must say that the Holocaust or Shoah wasn't an issue in Israel. We didn't speak about it because there was the independence, the war. Then we were, there were everywhere there was war, and so that wasn't any issue. And the people who lived in Israel before, they even asked us, why didn't you defend ourselves against Nazis? And even they thought that if you have survived, you maybe was collaborating with Nazis. So it was very difficult, and also language. We didn't speak Hebrew. So, but Yiddish. And for the Israeli, Yiddish was the language of the diaspora. So it was also difficult. So that's why we didn't speak about it until the Eichmann process. So then things started to change. But I started much later to speak about it, 40 years after.
Holocaust war kein Thema in Israel. Bis den Prozess von Adolf Eichmann. Da ist irgendwie doch die Welle ausgebrochen. Bei mir kam es noch viel später. Also ich brauchte 40 Jahre, um meine Geschichte aus mir herauszuholen.
What made you speak about it? What brought you to speak about it?
Also natürlich so ein Trauma wie meins.
Yes, my history has been not, I wouldn't say traumatic, but problematic. And because I was with the Nazis, I tried Heil Hitler or Sieg Heil, I was for a victory of Nazis. But I needed to have some distance in time. So I needed to know how I was and who I was. And that's a trauma that must come out. Otherwise you will die or you can't keep on living. So, but the last, the last thing that finally decided me to publish my history was that I had an intervention, a heart intervention in Israel. So as a kind of self-therapy, I decided to write down the whole history. So, but at that moment, I didn't think that I will have such a success with my history, and I couldn't imagine that one day I will be here in Madrid, where my book is going to be published.
Do you speak to groups? Do you speak to school groups about your story, and what is their reaction?
Mein hit triangel is Poland, Germany, Israel, of course. And I am very often in Poland, in Germany, and of course in Israel, in Yad Vashem, in Messoah, the flame. So I'm telling my story, especially I have interesting reactions in the German students, because I'm telling the story of their grandfathers. Their grandfathers were the comrades of my experiences. So I have to tell very much about Warsaw. Their grandfathers didn't tell about this war, their next generation. It was quite... So they are especially impressed for my story because that's the true story of their grandfathers.
Something that occurred to me when I was watching the talk that you gave a few years ago in Guernica was that children were taught this Nazi ideology with a very scientific basis. It was scientific evidence of the master race and inferior races. And since it was so logical, the children believed it. And it kind of makes me wonder about educational systems and how, well, this is not really a question, and how with the educational system, children can really, really be brainwashed. But that's not really a question. Okay, the question is, how closely does the film Europa Europa reflect the true story, and how much of it is, let's say, artistic license?
Of course, a movie is not a documentary movie, of course. All are artists. Both I am playing my role self. And it is a more artistic movie, and as an artistic movie, the film director Agnieszka Holland took much freedom of art and interpreted any experiences of her way with her film philosophy, with very express symbolic scenes in the movie. So it was her right, of course. And also a little Hollywood is involved, because you have interest, the film should be successful. So I think Europa Europa is one of the most important Holocaust movies, together with HaShoah from Lanzmann or the pianist from Polanski. I think Europa Europa is a very important in this triangle, because you can see the Shoah on the other side, the German side, how it was possible. In Schindler's List or in Pianist, you can see the results. But Europa shows how they were educated, how it was possible that normal German cultural people are able to be murdered. That is a very important aspect in the movie Europa Europa.
Finally, one last question. We just recently had elections in Europe, as you know. Are you concerned about the rise of the far right in Europe and about the rise of anti-Semitism? Are you worried?
Yes. I can see, I am feeling that we are now in a very similar situation like during my childhood in Germany in the 70 years in the 20th century. We know when a war is beginning, what when begins a pre-war. And I am very afraid that we are now in Europe in such kind of pre-war situation. The fascism is very dominant in Europa. See French, see Denmark, see Brussels. We are witnesses of a war with tanks and helicopters in Ukraine. We are witness from two such a Cold War is more and more hot. So I am very afraid that we are for a very dangerous period, because I, as a child, alive this situation. I have experience. In the 30 years of the 22nd, the same beginning. Lectures, fascism, Italian, Spain, German, Hungary, Second World War, and now we are in the same atmosphere. It's very... So I see, especially books like my book, want to warn for such a new catastrophe.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we left out, that we forgot?
Oh, da kann ich noch so viel zu fügen. Aber ich glaube, das Wichtigste haben wir hier erwähnt.
So many things I could add, but I think the most important things we have mentioned, Justin.
I will recommend the audience to read my book, to watch the movie, and so they will have a very interesting triangle book, movie, and my interview in person.
Thank you very much.
It was my pleasure too.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirod.com. See you next week.